Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
My friends, our church around the world celebrates the great feast of Christ the King. Now, we in the 21st century, in our day and age, can proclaim this with complete freedom and without any reservation or ramifications. Yet, if we lived in the first century, and if we lived in the Roman Empire, this was a very bold and provocative statement to make. Why? Because if we lived in the Roman Empire, which was considered the civilized world, your lord and your king was Caesar. Whether you liked it or not, it was Caesar and no other. Yet, after Jesus ascends back into heaven, there is this little band of people, the apostles and the disciples, who said, "No, Caesar is not my lord and king. Instead, Jesus Christ is." And they publicly and boldly proclaim that. You see that in the writings of St. Paul's epistles, as well as in the letters of Peter and James and John, in addition to the Gospels. And this was a very bold proclamation. Yet, it came with it severe ramifications. Take, for example, the life and the ministry of St. Paul. St. Paul's ministry, it is estimated, lasted for about or approximately 25 years. Yet, Paul spent half of that time in Roman prisons throughout Asia as well as Europe, because of what we boldly proclaim today. Jesus Christ is our Lord and King. You see that throughout the lives of the apostles. The apostles were all, or most of them, were hunted down and executed because they boldly proclaim what we celebrate here today. Jesus Christ is our King. How about our church? For the first three centuries, our church was persecuted. People were martyred because they boldly and provocatively proclaimed what we celebrate here today. Jesus Christ is our King and our Lord. Now, stay in that ancient world for another moment. When you proclaimed someone to be your Lord and your King, you basically declared that now you were to be a loyal subject to that king. Therefore, you became, in some ways, a living extension of that king. Let me explain this further. This meant that the values that your king had now were your values. The beliefs that your king held were now your beliefs. Whether you liked it or not, you had to take on the values and the beliefs and the lifestyle of your king in order to remain a faithful and loyal subject. Now, stay with that concept and fast forward now to the present time and apply that concept to the spiritual life. If we genuinely and sincerely proclaim that Jesus Christ is our King, then we must be a living extension of Him. Christ's values must now be our values. Jesus' beliefs must now be our beliefs. And what were they? What were Jesus' values and beliefs? Charity, compassion, forgiveness, love, patience, prudence, towards all. Well, now we must adopt and live out those values if we truly consider ourselves to be Jesus' faithful disciples. Our life must be ordered around and to Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and King. Yet what is the spiritual danger? To replace Jesus as our King and put something or someone else in the role of our King or our Lord. That is the great temptation. When we begin to worship something other than Jesus in this world. Let me give you a great example of that. Myself, before I began studying for the priesthood, my professional career was the King and the Lord of my life. If you were to ask me, prior to entering the priesthood, who was the Lord? Who is the center of your life? I would immediately tell you it wasn't Jesus. No, not at all. In fact, it was my career. My whole life was devoted to my career, to success, and to money. My career was the center of my life, and I lived my life according to it. My career, enjoying success, and the money that came with it, was the most important thing in my life. Now, one would say that I practiced idolatry, and why not? I worshiped my career. I spent all my time and attention ensuring that my career was as successful as it possibly could. Now, don't get me wrong, I still practiced my faith. I still came to Mass every Sunday. Out of fear, though, and not out of fear from God, but out of fear of my mother. Heaven help me if she ever found out that I was skipping or not attending Mass. Yet at the same time, I was one of those Catholics that as soon as I received communion, I was bolting for the doors. I couldn't wait to get out of church because I knew there was something waiting for me outside. It was my career. It was all that success that was calling out to me. My attitude was one in which the church had nothing that interested me at all, so I never got involved with any of the activities of my parish. Yet, I thought I was doing nothing wrong. I gave to God exactly what He wanted. I would show up for Mass every week and give Him a mere 40 to 45 minutes of my time, and then I was out of there. You know, I couldn't wait to get back to my career. My career was the love of my life. Now, what was most insidious about this whole relationship that I had with my career is that the more success I enjoyed, the more money I made, the more I quickly climbed up the corporate ladder, the more it had a tighter and tighter grip upon me. The more it made me believe that the more attention and time that I worshiped my career, the more reward, success I would enjoy. And therefore, it made it incredibly difficult to break free from it. In some ways, I was enslaved to my own ego, to my own greed, to my own success. Yet, what broke the grip of the slavery? It was the Eucharist, attending Mass. One year during Lent, I made it my Lenten obligation to attend Mass every day. Instead of giving something up, which I thought back then was ridiculous, I said, okay, I will do something extra, something special during Lent that I don't normally do. So I began to attend daily Mass in the morning, right before work. In fact, it fit perfectly into my schedule. I found a church that was right on the way to work. And so I would attend Mass every day at 6:30 a.m. and then be in the office by a little after 7:30. So it worked perfect for me. And so I continued to attend daily Mass throughout the season of Lent. Well, Lent came and went. And Easter arrived. And I still continued to attend daily Mass on my way to work. Well, Easter came and went, and I continued to attend daily Mass throughout the summer. Now, what was so amazing is the effect that the daily Mass was having upon my life. It was slowly and subtly changing me. That's why I always tell people, Never, ever underestimate the power of the grace that we receive from Mass. It has an incredibly transformative effect on us. And I'm a living example of that. As I was attending daily Mass throughout Lent, throughout the season of Easter, and even after Easter, it was the Lord who was working on me, who was kind of chiseling away all of those rough edges and working to replace what was then the source and center of my life, what was the king of my life. Now, they were very slow and subtle changes. It wasn't like St. Paul. It wasn't like I suddenly was struck by lightning and fell out of my car. No, not at all. God worked very slowly on me, so slowly that I couldn't even see the changes myself, but others could. And I had to rely upon people in my life to tell me that they saw these very subtle changes in my life. In fact, one of the people were my own mother. That's why a good lesson from this is always listen to your mother. After a while, I began to see the changes myself. I was no longer the same person. What happened? I replaced the Lord and the King of my life, my career, with now Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ truly and genuinely now was the Lord of my life. He was the center of my life. He was the person to whom everything in my life was ordered to. And my life was changing because of it. I began to get more involved at my parish. I volunteered to be a lector, a Eucharistic minister. I volunteered to go into the classrooms and teach religious ed, and even to go and serve meals to the homeless at a local soup kitchen. Suddenly, my career no longer meant that much to me, but instead ministering to the needs of others, as well as going to Mass every day, meant more to me than anything in the world. My friends, I think that's what we celebrate here today in this great feast. We now, in this 21st century, boldly proclaim that Jesus Christ is our King. And that was a very powerful statement that a small little band of individuals boldly proclaimed in the first century. And it has been something that has echoed throughout the history of our church without any trepidation whatsoever. Whether it was the saints, the apostles, or the martyrs of our church, we proclaim that Jesus Christ is our King. We proclaim it not just with words, but in our behavior, our conduct, how we live our lives. Our lives are now ordered to Jesus Christ. I'll leave you with just one last thought on this beautiful feast. In the first reading from Ezekiel, as well as in John's Gospel, what is the image that our church gives us of our Lord and our King? Well, it's the image of a shepherd. As Ezekiel tells us, Christ is our shepherd who is constantly calling out after us. Listen now from the prophet. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will look after and tend my sheep. As a shepherd tends his flock when he finds himself among his scattered sheep, so will I tend my sheep. I will rescue them from every place where they were scattered, where it was cloudy and dark. I myself will pasture my sheep. I myself will give them rest, says the Lord our God. Jesus Christ, our King, is our good shepherd, always calling out for us to draw us into himself. Yet what must we do to always hear him? What is the posture that we must assume? Well, it's the posture of a daily prayer life. It's the posture of attending Mass every week, performing the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. These are all ways in which we assume the posture of listening. Listening to the Good Shepherd, our Lord, our King, constantly calling out after us to draw all of us into Him. My friends, Christ is calling out after us so that we may have life, and life in abundance. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.